Hello, and welcome back to the Type Theory Commute. I'm Aaron Stump, and it's good to be talking with you today. I haven't had an episode out for quite some months, so sorry for the total inconsistency there. Basically, why did I not put anything out? I guess because I was talking about DCS for a while, and then I sort of got bogged down a little bit, and I just kind of... Well, I have something else I want to talk with you about now that I got fired up about and feel like I have something hopefully interesting to share, which is about simply typed lambda calculus. Simply typed lambda calculus, okay? So this is a system full of surprises, and actually surprisingly deep and interesting issues arise in this very simple setting. And so maybe a testimony to how complicated typing and lambda calculus are. I don't know. But so today I just want to talk about some of the basics of simply typed lambda calculus. And then I'm going to, you know, in a subsequent episodes here, I want to talk about some of these intricacies that, yeah, again, probably not that many people realize how tricky there's some stuff that is. So there's actually quite a lot to say. In fact, I know there's a lot to say. I'm not just out in space here, because the great typed lambda calculus researcher Roger Henley has a whole book called Basic Simple Type Theory. Now, I don't have this book, but I'm going to try to rectify that. And my university library right now hasn't checked out. So, anyways, so what is simply typed lambda calculus? Well, we start with lambda calculus, which we hopefully, you know, hopefully if you're listening to this, you know. If you don't know, just get online and take a little look. It's I'm sure there's a bazillion resources out there to tell you a little bit about lambda calculus. You have variables, applications where you're calling a function, so you write one term. These are called terms. The programs in lambda calculus are generally called terms. And so you have a variable as a term, an application is a term where you've got one term and you're applying it to another term. And this is a function applied to an argument. And finally, you have anonymous functions which are written with lambda. So you write lambda x t, where t is a term, and this means the anonymous function that takes an input x and returns output t. So that's, you know, in a very tiny nutshell, just the syntax of lambda calculus. And for simply typed lambda calculus, we are working with simple types. And simple types are, well, they're real simple. They're base types. And those, you could think of them from programming languages terms as like, you know, like bool or char or, you know, some kind of primitive type you have. And, you know, let's just say you've got some set of base types. Like, let's say you've got at least one, otherwise you can't do anything. And so let's say you have at least one base type b, little b. And then you form function types. So if you've got two simple types, then like t1 and t2, then t1 arrow t2 is another simple type. That's it. Those are the types. So really, I think you can see here that simply typed lambda calculus is really kind of the starting point in type theory to talk about functions. Or under Curry-Howard, it's the starting point to talk about implications. And in logic, definitely in constructive logic, implication is a totally interesting connective, more interesting really than and or, because implication in, when you look at the semantics of constructive logic, it has a modal semantics. I mean, we don't need to get into that right now. But anyway, so suffice it to say that implication is pretty interesting from a logical perspective, and function types are pretty interesting from a programming perspective, because if you can't write a function, you know, that seems kind of limited from a programming perspective. So those are the simple types. And I definitely think it's helpful to study type theory from what they call a church style perspective. And it means we've got our programs that exist before we think about types. Okay, so there's a programming language. In this case, it's just the untyped lambda calculus. Those are my programs. Maybe you could imagine having more to your programs. You could say, oh, I've got untyped lambda calculus, plus maybe I have primitive natural numbers or some other data types or something, or control operators, whatever crazy programming feature you wanted to have. But in this perspective, the computation first perspective, which as a computer scientist, I guess I kind of like, You're thinking about programs and how they run before you think about types. Now, some people would really reject this viewpoint and they think types should come first. Well, I don't agree with that. So anyway, that's a different perspective. Maybe there's fruit to be had from that perspective, but I'm definitely more the other way. So so this is called Curry style. You have a program and then you kind of identify what type or types, excuse me, it has. And you know, in simply type lambda calculus, the basic thing is that you're going to give lambda abstractions are going to get arrow types. So for example, let's say you have lambda xx. This is the identity function. It takes an input x and just immediately returns it. So if you have lambda xx, now the kind of function types you can assign this, that's another term, piece of terminology. People talk about assigning a type to the term. It's partly in recognition that you might be able to assign multiple different types to the same term. And indeed, with simply type lambda calculus, and this point is going to be important for some of the intricacies to be discussed later, you can assign different types to the same term. And so lambda xx, you can give it actually an infinite number of different types because you can, let's just say you just have just one base type b, just for simplicity, you could say, so this has type b arrow b, given an input of type b, you know, lambda xx is going to give you that very same input back as the output. So it's going to return something of type B. So it has, its type is B arrow B, meaning given an input of type B, it'll give you an output of type B. But it has any type you, any simple type you want. Like let's say you have a simple type big T, then lambda XX can be given type big T arrow big T, right? Because the same kind of reasoning about why it has type B arrow B, I mean, any in particular input type you choose, like say you're thinking of the type big T in question here is like B arrow B. So a lambda xx can take a B arrow B function as input, and since it's just returning it to you, it gives you back a B arrow B function. So lambda xx could be also assigned to type B arrow B arrow B arrow B. Okay, so, in fact, it has an infinite number of different types. So, in fact, that's one little question that immediately pops in my mind. And, you know, Professor Hindley, a respected researcher, may have answered a bunch of these questions in his book that I don't have about basic simple type theory. But, you know, one question is, like, say you have a closed term, like a term with no free variables. You know, can you find a term that can't be assigned, that can be assigned more than zero types, but fewer than infinitely many types? Like, so you can definitely find terms that can't be assigned a type at all. That's an interesting point too, which we'll come back to. So not every term can be typed in simply type lambda calculus, but can you find a term that is typable that doesn't have an infinite number of types? I do not, off the top of my head, I definitely don't know the answer. Lambda xx, it is typable and it has an infinite number of types. I said closed term, because if you have some free variables, and you know, you say, oh, this free variable has a specific fixed type. Well, then you'll definitely, that just by that very example, like they'll say, you say, I'm just considering the term X, and I'm assuming that X has type bool. Well, then the term X has one type, bool, but it doesn't have any others, because there's no way you can assign other types to it, given that you're assuming it has type X has type bool. And so when you define typing for simply type lambda calculus, you're going to say, when does a term have a type under some assumptions about free variables that might occur in that term? So, you know, like, let's say that X is a B to B function and Y is a B. Well, then X applied to Y is going to be of type B as well, because you're taking a B to B function and applying it to a B argument, and so you get a B, you know, result. So we assign types to terms in some, what they call a typing context. So it's some set or list of assumptions about the types of free variables that occur in the term. And so now we are in a position to sort of talk through what are the actual typing rules. So the rules say, well, if you have a variable, so we have one rule for each of the three kinds of terms that we have. So one rule for variables, one rule for applications, and one rule for lambda abstractions. So if you have a variable x, you say, when can I assign x some type t? Well, the only time you can do that in simply typed lambda calculus is if you're assuming it has type t. So if your context, you're a subset of a set or list or multi-set or whatever kind of data structure of assumptions says, yes, x has type t, then indeed you can conclude that x has type t. Cool, makes sense. So that's, you type variables just if you have an assumption about what their type is. If you have a function call, like you have a t applied to t prime, so that's a function t applied to argument t prime, then you see, if I can assign a type, let's say t1 arrow t2 to the functional term t, and if I can assign a type t1 to the argument term that I called t prime, then when I apply t to t prime, I'm taking a function of type t1 arrow t2 and an argument of type t1, and I get a result back of type t prime. So so this is the basic rule for function applications. And finally, for lambda abstractions, the idea with lambda abstractions is to assign them arrow types. And so if you have lambda xt, you can assign this an arrow type, t1 arrow t2, if you can assign the body, they call it, you know, we have lambda xt, the t is called the body, it's what's being returned, and it's really the code of the function. So if you can assign the body type t2 under the assumption that the input variable x has type t1. So to assign t1 arrow t2 to lambda x dot t, you assume x has type t1, and then you just prove that the body t has type t2. So this is where we extend the context. And this is kind of under the logic side of things, this is kind of the more modal character. It's like we go into a new world where, you know, we're in some world where we're trying to see if this lambda term, this lambda abstraction has a function type. It's like, well, let's go to a new world. And whenever we're going to new worlds, you know, we are in the land of modal reasoning. So we kind of go to this new world where there is this X that has type T1. And then we try to figure out, does the body have type T2 in that new world? So that you get a hint from this approach to typing of the sort of modal character of implication or function types. Okay, so that's the sort of basics of the typing of simply typed lambda calculus. And let's see. So let's just see if we can do one more example. I'm almost at, I've been visiting Johns Hopkins this year. I'm almost at campus. And I can share with you, my dear listeners, that I am moving to Boston College for the fall. So I'm taking a new position at Boston College as professor of computer science. And I'm really excited about the new opportunity there. It's not excited about the commute, which I hear is pretty scary. So the type theory commute might get to be hour-long episodes. So let's just do one more example. So let's say you have something like, let's say we do church encoded 2. So let's say we do lambda f, lambda a, f of a. This is how you lambda encode the number 2. You turn 2 into a function that takes in an f and an a, and it calls f twice on a. And the calling it twice is kind of how it represents 2. And so for this one, you could give this the type, like f is definitely needs to be given a function type because you're going to call it as a function. So you're going to, since you say lambda f, lambda a, f of a, you're calling f on a. So f needs to be a function. Let's say it's a b to b function. Well, and that immediately tells you that a needs to be a b because you're saying f, you're calling f as a function on a as an argument. So if f is a b to b function, then a needs to be a b. And since you then call f on the result, that definitely reinforces that the input and output types of f need to be the same because you're going to call f, you know, you're going to give f as an input what you get as an output from f. So anyway, so you can give this type, lambda f, or you can give this term, lambda f, lambda a, f of a, you can give it the type b, arrow, and then it takes, so that's for the f part, then you take in a b for the a part, so b, arrow, b. Okay, now I hope that you managed to understand by example as I tried to talk it through. I had a, I worked with a person one time who was really skeptical about the possibility that one could talk through stuff this detailed. It's just simple types, man. How hard can that be to talk through? Well, yeah, it could be pretty bad. Okay, thanks so much for listening, and tune in again sometime soon for hopefully more on simply typed lambda calculus.